I am an everyday a touch of mascara kind of gal, though I love a full glam moment. So whether I'm simply just adding my Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara by Thrive Cosmetics, or adding their highlighter, eyeliner, or eyeshadow to my full glam, Thrive has been my go-to since 2020 for most of my makeup products, so that's why I'm so excited that they're sponsoring this episode. And why do I love them? Well, not only is their quality and their application just chef's kiss, but also the causes they support. In fact, it's in the name, Thrive Cosmetics. C-A-U-S-E Medics. Thrive Cosmetics and Bigger Than Beauty Skincare exist to empower their customers, employees, and giving partners to live their most confident lives. And so they believe in responsive giving. And so thanks to your support, they either donate their high performance products or much needed funds to help communities thrive. Can't emphasize enough how great their mascara is. Their unique formula creates tubes around each eyelash to lengthen them. Plus, it's incredibly easy to remove. Just a gentle wash with warm water, and it doesn't leave any smudges. The nourishing ingredients also support longer, stronger, and healthier looking lashes over time. And let me tell you, as someone with blonde eyebrows, I really do appreciate the natural look of their Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner. This easy-to-use waterproof pencil holds like a wax and blends like a powder. So just a few strokes to the line of your brows and fill in any sparse areas, and it comes with a little spoolie brush to lift and tame your brows afterwards. So with 8 shades to choose from, you'll always find the perfect match for your natural brow hair color. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/magic. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/magic for 10% off your first order. With Mother's Day just around the corner, are you thinking about something truly special for your mama? I am. And let me tell you about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? So here is how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email, and these can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice. And then MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And then guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. You get to preserve her voice and her stories for your family. I mean, imagine you're discovering stories about her youth, her adventures, the challenges that she had to overcome in life, the way that you two connect and relate, and also the way her grandkids will relate to her. I mean, this book becomes a legacy and something that you and your future generations can truly treasure forever. I mean, your mom's given you a lifetime of stories, so this is your chance to give her a way to share them. And not only am I creating one for my mom now for Mother's Day, but for my dad's birthday, as my dad is turning 80 this year, and I like to gift him with sentimental gifts. You know, he's gifted my family and I so many treasured moments. So I wanted to create something for us to collect these memories and for my future kids, for them to know my father's voice. So beautiful, sentimental, easy to use. Let me emphasize, easy to use. And you can truly create one for anyone. Your mom, your dad, your bestie, maybe even you. So check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code MAGIC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code MAGIC for 10% off today.
The other thing was probably about 6 months later, I took a trip to Hawaii and I was in Borders bookstore in Lihue, and I had this visitation from my deceased uncle, and he'd been dead at that point for about 10 years, but he appeared just to kind of like a foot or two away from my right-hand side, and he was just there for a second with a really clear message about wanting to work with me. And that was like the day after I'd had a reading with somebody who'd said, you know, your uncle's here, he's a spirit guide, he wants to work with you. And I'm going, I have no idea really how to start. But it really got my attention. And, you know, it was a clear message about, you know, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So a couple of weeks later, I was back in the mainland and I just gave it a go and discovered that I could communicate with the other side. And it was slow going. I mean, it's like, you know, I really can do now in 5 minutes what would take me an hour to do.
Wow.
Back then it was very, you know, I was really, I mean, my first few times trying to talk to the other side, it was like, I liken it to, you know, if you're trying to listen to the radio and it's really off the station, it keeps going kind of in and out. It was like that. But, you know, it's like anything, if you do it long enough, you keep practicing, keep working at it, it becomes easier. And I actually spent about 3 years just developing my ability to connect with the other side before I ever really read for anybody. Maybe I read a couple of people, but I was very nervous about going out into the world and getting things wrong, or you know, screwing up somebody's life by you know, getting the wrong message or misinterpreting something. So I was kind of, maybe a little, well, according to my spirit guides, very overcautious. You know, I should have been doing it a little bit before. But so that's really how I got started, and right now I've been working with the. I have spirit guides on the other side. I've been working with them for 20 years, roughly.
I was about to ask, wow, how long ago was it when you saw your uncle in Kauai?
That was 97.
I was seven. Wow. What is it about Kauai? I lived there last year, bleeding into this year, and also like Bali, I just felt them everywhere. I felt them. Yeah. Some felt lighter than others that would come to the house, and sometimes I thought that they would wake me up at night and I'd wake up my roommate. But also Scotland, that was the first time in a long time I actually like heard a voice too. Are there just certain places in the world where people are more sensitive to connecting with the spirits?
Yeah, there are just certain places. And of course, generally, if you're trying to connect with the other side, you want to have some tranquility, which is why, I got a lot of stuff. I seemed to download a lot of things when I was on a beach in Kauai, a secret beach. I was going there and I was sometimes the only person there, and I just found the connection was just, it was superb, you know, and Scotland, parts of Scotland, absolutely. But there are places, I mean, we tend to, or old souls tend to pick up the energy. They tend to know that there are certain places that feel a little bit lighter, you feel more connected, and other places that just don't.
Oh my gosh, my heart right now. I can't wait to also talk about soul ages. And you were a skeptic atheist. So how level 10 of you?
Oh, I know. It really is. Actually, it's a funny thing. You know, people think that, you know, if you're a non-believer, you know, an atheist, that you're probably a young soul. But actually, no, it tends to be the very old souls. The problem is that as the soul ages, it tends to reject conventional religion in favor of something that's more spiritual. But what it will often do is throw the spiritual baby out with the religious bathwater. And, you know, so I was, you know, typical of that sort of person. I mean, the universe really had to get my, struggle hard to get my attention.
Really got your attention. And then do you think that it was your uncle that was really the catalyst to being like, whoa,
he was the big catalyst, yeah. And he was an atheist as well, you know, which was why I would tell psychics, they'd say, oh, your Uncle John is a spirit guide. And I'd go, yeah, everybody's got an Uncle John. And, you know, and he's the last person I would think of. But, you know, once you're on the other side, you know, you're back to spirit again. Yeah, you're asking about soul ages. I mean, this is a fascinating aspect of what I've learned to read in people is to tell how old your soul is, to get a sense of how long you've been going back and forth between this plane and the next, how many lives you've had. And as the soul ages, you know, a lot of things change. It's like growing up from childhood to becoming an adult. And the people I work with are generally not just old souls, but they're very old souls. And if you would like, I would love to tell you
absolutely
about the age of your soul.
I'm so open.
Yeah, well, I'm excited because I did a little reading, and of course we haven't discussed any of this yet. Mm-hmm. So I'd be very interested to hear what your thoughts are. So
yeah,
You're actually a little bit older than most of my clients. There are 10 levels in all that take you through, for the average person, maybe 120 lifetimes. So you have multiple lifetimes at each of these 10 levels. And most of my clients are somewhere between level 7 and level 10. Younger souls who are, young souls are up to from level 1 up to the end of 5. And then there's a kind of flip that goes on. It's where you develop a greater ability for introspection. It's like your whole focus changes. So I never get young souls coming to me. They're just not interested in doing this kind of work. So, of course, I'm reading people who are more sort of 7, 8, 9, and 10.
Doesn't make them any better or worse, and it's just their age.
It's just. I always say that because I think there's a tendency to feel like, you know,
superior.
You know, superior if you're a really old soul, but you know, it just, you are what you are, and you have no control over that. You know, you know, it's just like being any age. You know, there's nothing much you can do about it. It's just that's what you are, and it is important to remember that young souls sometimes act in ways that old souls wouldn't. And, you know, like with a child, you wouldn't necessarily judge them, but at the same time, you wouldn't necessarily condone the behavior if it's not good for them or everyone else. So getting back to you, you are right up towards the end. You are, in spiritual terms, a senior citizen. You are level 10, and you're actually 80% into it, which implies that that could be your last life. You'll never actually know if you're on your last life until you process this on the astral plane when you've completed the life, because it's only then that you can process and really understand how successful the life was and whether you learned all the lessons you set out to learn and if you have to come back. So we don't know for sure. You can't tell, but it could be your last life, and maybe you got one or two after this, but you're reaching the end of a very long journey, which I think is the most cosmic and exciting thing about this, because you've been going back and forth from the physical plane to the astral plane for now maybe could be 6,000 years. It's a long journey, and you're coming to the end of it. And, you know, and there's so much I want to tell you. The marker of being such an old soul is so simple, because it's just acceptance of others. Having lifetimes where you've been in every kind of culture, every society, every color skin, every part of the world, in all sorts of combinations, you know, undergoing the worst that life can offer and the best, everything in between. What it does is it creates an acceptance of others, because it allows you to see the soul beneath the surface, and also to recognize that whatever anyone else is doing, you've been there. So you end up with this sort of feeling of like, who cares whether you're black, white, gay, straight, or anything else? It just, these things just don't matter. We're all souls under the skin. So that greater level of acceptance is usually there from childhood, because, you know, you're maybe a child, but you're still an old soul. So, and I'll tell you a few things about you. And if anything doesn't make sense, you let me know. Or if you want,
everything is resonating right now. And I always wondered, sometimes I think that this, you know, right after this, I will be helping people as I'm on the astral plane or the causal plane, helping people. That's so interesting. Well,
helping people is a really big part of why you're here.
Yeah.
And I'll explain that in a second. You're 80% into your soul age, and everybody at every level, even if you're a very young soul, at 80% you're trying to heal issues around rejection. And rejection comes from feelings of abandonment in past lives. And then it shows up in different ways in this life. But one of the most common things, common ways that people will try to overcome, the soul will try to get you to overcome anyway, this fear, is by being a uniter, bringing people together. And I think that's really probably a major reason that we're doing this right now. It would be a huge motivation for you to be the uniter, bring people together. So what I wanted to do is tell you about a past life.
Please.
That you had. It's a most recent past life and how this is showing up in this life. And again, if anything doesn't make sense, let me know. And if anything you want to explore, tell me. But
so far, I'm speechless.
Okay. When I explore past lives, I mean, I think most people are familiar with regression and where you someone will relax you and take you into a past life. And then by finding what happened, particularly traumatic events in the past life, it initiates healing. Well, what I found years ago when I first started doing readings for people is that I was far too impatient to do regressions all the time. I mean, to spend 20 minutes relaxing somebody and then waiting patiently while they struggle to figure out their past life.
Yeah.
I just, after doing that maybe two or three times, I went, this cannot be my career. So I just started telling people, because I'm getting it, you know, I'm talking to spirit guides, and you don't need a lot of detail usually, you know, just a few things, and then you can extrapolate, you can get the healing. So I just got a little bit about this past life of yours, and I want to tell you about it, and then I'm going to tell you some of the very, what I would consider to be obvious ways that this would then show up in this life, because we're hugely influenced by our past lives. And in fact, I maintain that you can't know, you can't fully understand who you are if you don't understand who you were. I mean, the influence of past lives all the time, you know, I feel almost with every passing day, I become more and more convinced that everything about we humans is past life related. So what I'll do is I'll give you a little bit about your past life, and then I'll show you the, like I say, the connections. We want to draw dotted lines between past and present. So you were a guy, you were African, you grew up in South Africa in the time of apartheid, and you belonged to some African organization, one of the sort of banned organizations under apartheid. You ended up being arrested. I think there's some other people arrested at the same time. I have a feeling it was mostly trumped up charges, because I think there's an element here of false judgment. And I'll look at that. I'll talk to you about that after. But you actually died in prison after a period of solitary confinement. And sometimes when there's extreme isolation in a past life, this is where you get this issue around rejection. And you also, well, you were executed, you were hanged. And hanging is so significant, because it shows up in all sorts of different ways in future lifetimes. And certainly the soul's feeling at the time of death was that you were abandoned by the system, you were let down. And that will show up in certain ways in this life. But hanging, almost always when somebody's been hanged, they're then working on self-expression issues in future lifetimes. It's about the throat chakra and learning to speak your truth and really say what's on your mind without kind of holding back. And I think that may be, again, related to the kind of work that you're doing right now. The other thing is, and it came up, something spirit guides talked about, is that your motivation to get involved in the organization you were in back in South Africa was to help others. And this is what I write about. It's old soul altruism. It's a selflessness that comes from that thing I was talking about, how you see the soul in others. So it's not just about you're making sure you have a good life, but it's in trying to better things for other people. And that's come into this life as well, because the life that you had was short. You didn't get the chance to do what you were meant to do. And the motivation then in this life is to influence others and to help them. You're not doing it for the money. You're doing it because deep down you really, really want to help other people. There's also another thing about being such an old soul is that you want to go out with a little bit of a bang. You know, you want to feel like you get to the end of this life or you're processing it on the other side going, wow, I really made a difference here. The world's a much better place for my having been here. So that's a big part of where that motivation comes from. Then there's the whole thing of being held in prison, and especially when it's associated with death. It creates what's called a past life fear of powerlessness. And it comes from being in a situation where you have no control over your destiny, like other people are choosing when you wake up, when you eat, and you know, also choosing when you die. And what it does in this life is it gives you a kind of exaggerated need for freedom, personal freedom. And because you were held in solitary confinement in darkness, then I think this probably would even go to your choice of location right now to be in a sunny place. But almost always, well, invariably, if someone's been held in prison for a long period of time, in the next few lifetimes, they really want to experience the wind in their hair. They want to be outdoors, you know, feel the warmth of the sun and all that sort of thing that the soul would have really missed while they were locked up.